So we're going to turn in our Bibles now today to the second chapter of Ephesians. And we've studied the first chapter of Ephesians. And as we said last time that we spoke, I think the first time, which has been two times ago that we spoke on Ephesians, Apostle Paul was in prison at Rome when he wrote this. And it's one of those books that we think of Apostle Paul being there, all captured and kept in all kinds of places. They were not very nice to him. And he was a victor in Christ, and he wrote to the people of God that he had ministered to. So he had already been in Ephesus, in the town of Ephesus, which I mentioned to you is about, it's about where Turkey is now in the, on the map. And he witnessed to them about Christ, and he taught them the word of God. And they were one of the groups that he would go around and visit at times on his, what he called his missionary journeys. So those were his missionary journeys. He was a man from down there, right around, well, he was actually up there near that place, in the Galatian area, up there. If you look on the map, right up there. Across the Mediterranean, up higher. That's where he lived and, originally, but then he went to Jerusalem and he became a man who really did persecute the Christians. Boy, he was something else. And he was going up to Damascus just to find those Christians and drag them down there to Jerusalem again and persecute them and whatever else needed. They were thrown into prison, and then oftentimes really, and he stood right there when they killed Stephen. How could God ever deal with a man like that? It was in God's mind, wasn't it? He saw how hateful and mean that Apostle Paul, who was only Saul of Tarsus then, his name was Saul of Tarsus, and he was a man that, boy, he acted like he didn't have any companionship, any desire to try to help somebody. He was always trying to find them out, those Christians that don't believe. And you know, God knocked him down on that road to Damascus. Praise the Lord. What would we do without Paul's epistles? 14 of them in the New Testament. We wouldn't have them. Unless the Lord had knocked him down on the road and said, hey, what are you doing? Appeared to him. So we're going to be in chapter 2 now. And we're going to entitle this, and I think it's Brother Copley that did it, but anyway, it's called Divine Provision, okay? Provision means what we need, the provision. If you talk about people say, I don't have any provision, it means maybe they don't have any groceries or something like that. Okay, so God has provided provision for us. We can't stand up and say, well, God never helps me. God just never gives me anything. And I go through life and I have all these trials. You know, you'll see people or hear people like that once in a while in your life. And you wonder, well, why are they talking that way? You know, but they're finding fault with God. But our God does provide. He is a great provider. And he will provide whatever we need. And I've experienced that in my lifetime, as a child and as an adult, the Lord has always provided whatever I needed. And I'm thankful to that. Verse 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah that we have Christ who came and died on the cross to help us, because we were trespassing in sin. We were dead, praise the Lord, and you. Now, we read in our previous lesson, he spoke about the Jews, and he also spoke about the Gentiles. So when he says, and you hath he quickened, he's speaking about Gentiles here. The Lord hath quickened them. He's made them alive. He's given them a spiritual thing that is making them alive to the things of God. Praise the Lord. He says, He has quickened who were dead, and we were not spiritually alive as just a child born into this life and something like that. We had natural birth, but we didn't have spiritual birth. We didn't have that knowing God and having God as our Father. So we were not spiritually alive until we received the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, accepted Him as our Lord and Savior. Now we are alive unto God. Oh, how precious. Hallelujah. Notice it says, who were dead in trespasses. Trespasses. Oh, my. All of the sins. That word trespasses means the sins of the world and the sins of how we had that sin nature before we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And many people who are just now saved or just now born again, or maybe haven't been yet, they are living in that kind of life. They're just living in the trespassing and sins. Praise the Lord. But the Lord, and you hath he quickened. The word quickened means he made us alive. We were dead in sin, and he raised us up and made us alive. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And for those, we were dead in trespasses. We didn't have any life. It wasn't a spiritual life. It was just our natural carnal life and sins. And verse 2, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world and according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Hallelujah. So, in times past shows the finality of Christ's work. What God does, he takes a person in times past who did not believe in God, who does not want the things of the Lord, and he redeems them. He gives them the hope of salvation. I've told you before, and I'll tell you again because it's just popped in my head. When I was a little child, I used to go to Oklahoma City, down on the terrible part of the town. Daddy would preach down there, right? We'd park a car out in the area in front of the curb, and Daddy would preach. And it was so precious because I was just small. I wasn't very old then at all, maybe 6 years old, maybe. But my dad would preach that message, and this big building that was there, maybe 3 or 4, stories high. And out from there would come people's hands, and they'd call down from up there and say, pray for me, pray for me. It was wonderful. It was a wonderful thing to see. And some of them would come down and kneel right down in the gutter. The state let him park 2 cars on each side so that we'd have room for our instruments. I didn't play instruments then, but the rest of my older 3 in my family and my mother and my dad, they all played instruments. And when they would start playing the words of a real good song, old-timey song, all of a sudden these people just start coming out of everywhere. And it was a terrible, rotten place down there. My dad would say, Anita, you stand over here, and my little brother, who was 3 years younger, you stand over here. Anybody passes by, pass them out a track. A track is a little paper that tells about how to be born again or whatever else the Lord wants on there. But anyway, we saw those trespasses and sins. We saw how broken and how hurt those people were. And that's the way it is without Christ. People just don't have any peace. And so that's what we walked in. And I was really young when I got saved, but I would have been in that because I was a sinner too. I needed the Lord as my Lord and my Savior, and that's what the Lord gave to me. So in the past, we walked according to the course of this world, and a lot of people that are saved in their older time, they walked in the course of this world for many years, and then they will come to the Lord. It's so precious. It is so precious to see. Hallelujah. And so there, it says, the course of this world. Oh, what a course we have. This world is a mess, isn't it? And getting worse all the time. Are you looking forward to the coming of Christ? Yes, absolutely. Because he could come at any moment. I'm telling you this, folks. He could come at any moment. Times are so bad. One of these days, it says, are we going to hear the trumpet? Are we going to hear what the trumpet will sound and tell us to go? And so notice it says, the course of this world. What the world does. The world does all kinds of things. It's an influence by this present age, this course of the world. People want to be like other people. They don't want to be like Christians. They want to be like other people out there doing, getting, having a lot of good times and things. But it's not scriptural, and it's not for us as believers especially. But we need to pray for the people of this world that are just in the course of the world doing their thing. According to the prince of the power of the air. Who is the prince of the power of the air? The old devil. He is the prince of the power of the air. He is around everywhere in places to try to get people to do bad things, not walk with God, not yield to God. That's what his job is, that he's a beast. Oh, that's how he did in the Garden of Eden to deceive Adam and Eve. He did it throughout the Old Testament. He did it in the New Testament. Got Apostle Paul, before he was Apostle Paul, to go and kill Stephen. Didn't throw a rock himself, but he was yelling and telling them to do it. See how the old devil works. The prince of the power of the air, the spirit. See, Satan is a spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. The children of disobedience. We are the children of the living God. Isn't that a beautiful statement? We are the children of the living God. How do we get that way? Because when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we experience a new birth. We're born again into the beautiful family of God. We have such a wonderful, wonderful gift. But oh, the devil, isn't he an old demon? He goes around working in the children of disobedience, trying to get them to do wrong things, not following God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I've been having sneezes lately, so... So, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Do you know that it's been over 2,000 years since Paul was here on the earth? It's been over 2,000 years. And you know what's been happening all this 2,000 years? Satan has been doing his work. Even stronger, even more so. Boy, I'll be so thankful to the Lord when he's cast into the lake of fire for all times. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? But we know that this disobedience, the children of disobedience, all of this is happening. Verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh. The conversation, it simply means our manner of life, our conversation, our conduct, a lifestyle, the way we function in our life. We all had our manner of life in times past in the lust of our flesh. Lust speaks of your desires, what you want to please me, see, not me, but you. Please ourself. That's our manner of life. And it isn't pleasing to God. It's carnal. It's fleshly. And so the Lord is working in us to honor him, to follow him, to do what he wants and have the obedience. And notice it says, fulfilling the desires of the flesh. Yes, that's what the old nature does. Why, I'm okay, I can do this. I can do this. I will do this. And I will be happy. We try to make ourselves happy and it doesn't work. So, hallelujah. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Mm-hmm. What do we do with our mind? our mind should be so possessed by Christ and his thoughts and what the scripture says that we choose to do right things. But you know what? Even though we're saved, we have an old nature. There's another nature. The believer has two natures, the old creation nature and the new creation nature. We're new in Christ Jesus. We're born again. We have salvation. Oh, praise the Lord. We have joy in the Lord. But sad to say, we also have an old nature. And once in a while, that old nature will jump up. That's the devil working. He wants us not to please God. But in pleasing God, it can't just be by our own strength. We can't just make some kind of vow and say, from now on, I'm going to please God. And then we find out we goof. We don't always please God. Praise God. How do we do that? How do we please God? By yielding our bodies as living sacrifices, is what Paul says. As a living sacrifice unto God. Here I am, Lord. I want to just let you be in control of my life. I'm going to be what you want me to be. It's a decision to make in our life. And it's one that you will never, ever regret if you fully give yourself to God. Praise the Lord. It's so beautiful because that's where the joy and all of the other things come from. So in verse 3, it says, among whom also we all had our conversation or our conduct or our lifestyle in times past in the lust of our flesh. And that's what happens before we know Christ. But fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And that's, as I said, it's what our mind will do. It will fulfill those desires of the flesh and the mind. And we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Yes, we believers in Christ, we still have the old nature. We had it before we were saved. We had that old nature, and we still do. Now, how on earth do we ever get victory over the old nature? By fully calling out to God and yielding our lives to God. And we're going to make mistakes. How many of you have not made a mistake? When we all have made mistakes at times. And yet, as we really begin to yield ourselves to God and let him have control of us. He said we were born by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But there's victory. There's strength. He will come in. He will give us a new birth, a new life. And I'm not just saying the birth is the only thing. After that new birth, he's always right there to guide us and to give us strength. Especially the Holy Spirit is there to tell us what to do and how to follow and to obey God's will and all of the wonderful things that bring victory. And it also brings awards in heaven. The rewards of heaven, they're waiting for us as the children of God. We walk in the Spirit. Paul says in one place, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So what's the remedy for not fulfilling the flesh? Walk in the Spirit. Yielding our lives to the Spirit of Christ. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Verse 4, for God who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Boy, he's rich in mercy. He's always helping us. And we always need it too, don't we? Oh, hallelujah. I'm so, so full of praise to the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Notice it says God's great love. God who is rich in mercy for his great love. He doesn't have little old bitty tiny bit of love for us. He works on us as individuals, and he loves us so much. He loved us so much, the Bible says, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16, one of my favorite verses. You know that because I say that quite a bit, but it's such a beautiful verse. Praise the name of Jesus. God has so much love. Just think of it. It goes to thousands and thousands and thousands of creatures in the past, to poor old Jonah, to the people in the ship of Jonah. God was speaking to them. It comes clear down all through the whole Old Testament time, clear on into the New Testament time. Oh, how precious it has been to know the Lord and to love God. Hallelujah. He has so much love that it goes to thousands and thousands, past people and future people. Notice it says, wherewith he loved us. Wherewith he loved us. Don't ever imagine that God doesn't love you. He loves you so much. He loves me so much. That is such a joy to me. And he speaks to me too and tells me, I love you. I love you. Even when I'm in trial and test. And that's so important. Verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins. You mean he loved us when we were in our sins? Sure he did. That's why he died, had his son die for us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So even when we were in sins, he has quickened us together with Christ. That word quickened means this in the Greek, made alive. Hallelujah. Even when we were dead in sins, he hath made us alive together with Christ. Is Christ alive? Yes. And we are alive with Christ. Even if we pass away like our dear brother, he's right now in the presence of our dear Lord. What a thing. What a wonderful, wonderful thing to know and to believe and claim as ours. If we pass away from this life, it's going to be joy. It's going to be wonderful. And I told you about passing, trying to go, and coming and seeing the bright light and holding my hands up, wanting to go, and the doctors and nurses hollering, Anita, come back, Anita, come back. And I went a ways back, and then all of a sudden I felt myself going again. Didn't really want to come back, but they kept yelling, and I thought, God wanted me back. That's a number of years ago when I was married to Roy. Went and had that test, and I kind of went out instead of being what it should. Praise the Lord. But he has quickened us together. Oh, praise the Lord. And he raised us up together, and he made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm sitting with the Lord Jesus Christ right now. Isn't that beautiful? You are too. That's just what he's given to us. You know, anytime we have a problem, it's his problem too. And we can just go and sit there and sit with the Lord and say, Lord, I have needs. You've got to help me. I hope every one of us learns how much we need help, because that is the way to really find that victory and that happiness in your life, to call out to the Lord. Because he cares about us. Hallelujah. So we sit together. He's made us to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Spiritually speaking, I'm not there yet. You're not there yet. But spiritually speaking, we should be sitting in the presence of our Lord right now, wherever we are, in victory, in strength. Verse 7, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. In the ages to come. And as I mentioned a while ago, it's been over 2,000 years since Jesus came to the earth. And he's going to show us one of these days, as this verse says, that he might show us the ages to come. He might show. What's he going to show us? Boy, it's going to be worth looking at. It's going to be wonderful. We're going to see heaven. We're going to see God, the Father, the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ, and all the saints of God, the people of God who have stood in faith and believing, and they're up there with the Lord right now. Oh, what a wonderful thing that we have look forward to be there in his presence. In the ages to come, we live in the age of what we call the church age or the grace age right now. One of these days, it's going to be the ages to come. And we are going to be in such a period of time, not going to be like a few thousand years. It's going to be from now on, clear all the way into eternity, that we will be with the Lord Jesus Christ. What a thing. In the ages to come, that he might show us the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And you know what? We don't have to wait right till we get to heaven to finally understand God's riches for us. We understand that right now, don't we? We understand the Word of God tells us what his riches are. It's to have peace. It's to have faith. It's to have all of these wonderful blessings of God in our life. And faith, he gives us the faith. He gives us the word, and that word produces faith in us. It's a precious thing. Hallelujah. The exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ. And verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. The word grace means unmerited favor. And you've probably heard that before. But unmerited something means we don't deserve it. We don't deserve God's grace. We don't deserve his mercy and kindness and his love. But he loves us so much. Hallelujah. And he has given us this grace, this unmerited favor that I don't deserve for, that you don't deserve anything for. And he noticed, you are saved through faith. Many people think they are saved through works, some kind of thing that they've got to keep doing and keep doing and keep doing. And it's not that way at all. We are saved through believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. The scripture is very, very strong on that. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, it says. So it is so important for us to be saved through faith, believing. And notice that that is not even of yourself. It's not that you're just such a wonderful person that you just always have this feeling and you have this faith in God, and that's the way it is, and you know, not really trusting in the Lord, just, you know, try to be a good little person. It just doesn't work that way. Faith, the scripture says, comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you're not going to have faith except by when God gives it to you, by the word of God. You read the word and you believe it right there, and it produces that faith. And that not of yourselves. This gift of faith is not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. The words gift of God are so important. As we already said, for by grace, the Lord Jesus Christ came here by grace. It's not by our good works or anything like that. It's given to us by faith. Faith is what gives us the gift of God, the gift of God. At one place it says, not of works, lest any man should boast. When we have this salvation, it's not because we can get up and say, I was so good today and I did everything right. And I want to tell all of you how I am saved because I am such a wonderful person. Did you know there are people that boast like that? There are. I knew some of them. They do that. But notice what verse 9 says, not of works, lest any man should boast. And what about that? Haven't you heard that? I have. I've heard people that boasted how good they were, how wonderful they were. They were so wonderful. Why God couldn't, have anything that he wanted to do to them, because they were okay. They thought they were fine. And I'm happy too. That's what they'd say. I'm happy too. I'm living my life, and I'm happy. Poor person, poor person. It's not by works that we are blessed by God, lest any man should boast. Praise the Lord. Hope you don't think I'm awfully slow in my teaching, but these verses are so, so important, and they are just, it's hard to not spend some time on it. And I hope that every one of you will be blessed by these teachings so that you really fully understand where we are and what God is doing for us. Hallelujah.